see what else. Any other? Okay, I can share about this one. This guy is 83 years old. He was my, he probably still is, my oldest client, 83. And he had this raised red rashes all over his body. And it was very itchy. He couldn't sleep for about a year. He went to the Western doctors, hospitals. The cream didn't help. He went to TCM, didn't help.
Mm.
And his doctor actually found out about me and asked whether hypnosis can help with that. So for this one, it's like, to me, old man, 83, health condition, cannot sleep properly. I'm like, okay, like, I don't want to charge you, okay? And are you able to walk? Otherwise, I'm okay to go to your house. So I ended up going to the house. I chat with the uncle. After that, I told him, another way to look at it, metaphor, is that our mind is like a computer, mm. okay? The conscious mind is like the screen of the computer, but the unconscious is like all the code inside. What happens when your computer has a virus and your Windows Defender cannot, or whatever defender, antivirus cannot destroy the virus?
Mm.
Worst case, you know, do a system backup restore,
yeah.
right? So that's what I did with him. Right now, he has a virus. He has no idea where the virus is coming from, whatever the skin condition is. We'll quote-unquote call it the virus. If I treat the mind like a computer, then I told him I would do a regression, or a form of regression, it's another version of regression, to do a system backup restore, return his mind to a previous age where he was the most healthiest.
Reboot.
Yes. And I honestly wish I had the foresight to actually ask him whether I can take a video of his arms. But on the spot, in the 20 minutes, the red rashes all just start to disappear. All just went away. And his skin was very nice, fair skin. And it all came back. And I was like, I'm thinking in my mind, damn, I didn't ask. And now PDPA, I cannot be like video taking now,
yeah.
right? So I just waited. Then after 20 minutes, it was all gone. Just left about an inch in the hole of the elbow.
Mm.
On the left side, just an inch there. Or a patch. Then after that, I gave him extra 20 minutes of just general health, general well-being, and just wanted the best for him. And after everything was done, I got him out and I said, look, uncle, you see, your arms are all okay now, your whole body is all fine. All you just have is just a little spot in the corner. And he was looking, so, wow, yeah, it's all gone. So yeah, so the next few days, it will disappear by itself. But if it doesn't disappear, let me know. I'll come back and just do another one for you. Yeah, and a few days later, his daughter actually wrote a 5-star testimony on my Facebook page. Yeah, so there are a lot of cases like this that is, it's not just mental health. It's on the physical side as well. And it's also other issues that is like relationship, even money, business, sort of things. Yeah, I can go on, seriously.
Okay, so now that we're done with that question, I got a personal question for you. Aside from your career, how do you take care of yourself? In the sense that, how do you take care of your mental health?
Well, if you look into the history of things, I worked on myself using hypnosis on most, if not all, of my issues already. To the point where it had gotten to this situation where for me to find an issue that I have for myself, very hard for me to find. Okay? I actually can, and everybody's able to hypnotize themselves. But of course, I'm able to use certain more advanced techniques to hypnotize myself to resolve my issues, which is what I did for myself early on. Early on, I would be like finding a new issue. Oh, actually, maybe I am anxious when I talk to a pretty girl, for example. Then I would resolve that issue. Or I find another issue. Maybe I am maybe get fearful or nervous when I talk to a new crowd of people. Okay, so I resolve that issue. So along the way, it just resolves. Now it's more like this, whatever I want to do with my personal time for my own self-care, you want to call it that way.
Yeah.
But not involving hypnosis would be to, I like stories. So I like to read manga, I like to read light novels. Yeah. But I like reading in general. So I like reading about psychology, science, and new developments in technology, religion, anything that pops up, anything that I'm suddenly curious about, I'll just read about it. Yeah. Even metaphysics, for example. What else? I just like read. I seldom play games. Yeah. Once in a while, I do have the urge to play a game.
What game?
But it's really random. So like, for example, during Circuit Breaker, I think it was during Circuit Breaker, or maybe it was slightly before. I think it was during Circuit Breaker. I just suddenly had the urge to play Heroes 3 of Might and Magic. Yeah, and then I went to, I just played a couple of maps. Then that was it. I just played a couple of maps and then after that I uninstalled the game already.
Is it because of the attention span that will be used in the game itself?
No, no, no. Because I play that often and
bored of it.
It's not bored of it. But rather it was just to have the feel again.
Mm.
And then go back to my clients. One thing is that one map takes quite a couple of hours, right?
Yeah.
So I still got other things to do, you know. Even now, because there are a lot of people, especially this period of time,
mm-hmm.
Stress factors coming in, mental health is being affected. So a lot of people are reaching out to me. Even if it's just a chit-chat, you know. Even if it's just a chit-chat, I'm okay to oblige. There's no obligation to do any hypnosis after this. So there is a lot of people coming for chats to talk about their issues. And then that will take some time, right? Because of all this time that I've given to them, I realized that, especially after the circuit breaker that happened in Singapore, I realized that right now, I do not have the time, oddly enough, I have time to work with my clients, to chat with my clients, but I do not have the time to work on my business. So I am able to still blog twice a month, which I do that normally. But I used to post daily on Instagram. I don't do that anymore. Because I realized that, okay, what are the things that I can drop, you know, in order to make more time for my clients? Because these are the people that need help. Yeah.
Mm. By the way, a little bit backstory. He's a one-man show. just so all this is known. So yeah, I guess that's the reason why you took you blocked 2 days off for in a month. Did you say to concentrate on business?
No, as in I blocked. B-O-L-G. I must produce at least 2 blog articles a month.
Mm.
Yeah. And I will be thinking, so sometimes I'll be thinking about what are the stuff, what are the topics that I can blog about. For example, last month I actually I had a few clients who realized that their spouse was cheating, or they themselves were cheating, and they want to resolve the issue. So in the midst of the conversation, I shared some observations that I made. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, if the parents are cheating, then the child may grow up to become a cheater too, right? Or if it's the same gender, let's say daddy cheated on mommy and you're a girl, and then you might end up finding a guy who become a cheater. Mm. It's also possible. But surprisingly, the cases that came to see me with a cheating case, that's about half the time. Or maybe about 2/3, okay? The remaining, surprisingly, are actually adopted. Or the children of adopted. So the family history, there's no cheating case, but they are adopted or the children of adopted. Now, why? I realize that there's a very big possibility. Of course, just because you're adopted doesn't mean you cheat. But when a child is given for adoption, the child's mind could have an idea or a belief or a question, like, why did mommy and daddy give me away?
Okay.
Is it my mind they don't love me? And if my parents don't love me, then I must seek love outside the family.
Mm-hmm.
So once this gets stuck inside there, that's where things get interesting, I suppose. They might end up a little bit more rebellious because I seek love outside the family.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they go out, club, pub, or whatever. And then once they get married, here's the funny part. The guy that they seek love with,
mm-hmm.
who is their boyfriend, is outside the family. But once they get married, it becomes inside the family.
Mm.
Then now the person will be seeking love outside family again. That's how they cheat. And it means these are the people who are adopted. Now what about the children of the adopted? They actually had the same thing, but consciously they know they under morals or ethics or whatever, they must not cheat or whatever.
Mm.
But they do not know how to show love to their children. So it recreates the same symptoms or beliefs inside their children. And then that's what happened. So when I shared this lady was like, oh my God, you are right. My husband cheated on me and he's adopted. Yeah. I didn't know that, but when I shared this and then it clicks with her, yeah. This is the funny thing.
That's the funny thing. Excuse me. I have a last question. Before we start rapid fire, where do you want to see hypnotherapy grow? How do you want to see hypnotherapy grow here in Singapore? Like, probably the dreams of it, of how big it will grow, or do you want it to be well known here, or people should be more receptive, or what's your dream for like for it not to be in Singapore? Because it's quite small. It's quite relatively small in Singapore, right? To be really honest.
Yes, yes. The amount of professional hypnotherapists in Singapore are a handful, at most two hands. That's about it.
Ten.
Yeah, at most. Hmm. At most. Yeah. Maybe one and a half. Yeah, the professional ones, the more famous ones. Yeah, you can find about that. We're a very small group. Let's see what else. Okay, your question is how. Okay, so I realized that ultimately, even in my chit-chats with my clients, it's all about how the mind works.
Hmm.
When you understand how the mind works, and you understand that you as a parent will impact your child, how you speak, how you behave, how you act, your beliefs can pass down to your children. I always tell my clients, your parents are your first hypnotist, but you are your best hypnotist. Because whatever you say to yourself can affect you. Anything bad, yeah, you get it. Anything good, you may get it, as long as it doesn't conflict with whatever bad stuff that's already inside you from your parents. So in a way, hypnosis is something that's actually very common. Yes, I'm a hypnotist, I can hypnotize you, but that doesn't mean that there are no one else outside of this room that we are in that is not hypnotizing you. It's just that they don't call it hypnotism. They call it persuasion, influence, or some other stuff.
Mm.
Right? So, a few years ago, I started a meetup group, Singapore Hypnosis Meetup. And I was sharing about public awareness. I really wanted to raise public awareness on how the mind works and how hypnosis is actually more common than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, only then, can you reject or defend yourself against suggestions or ideas that you do not want inside you from people. Okay, so that's what I was going for. So when we talk about hypnotism itself, I think we need to understand first how the mind works. And if like the whole population worldwide, like we call it that way, really understand how the mind works, we can understand the impact. How a very simple, harsh word could change your child's life in the opposite direction of what you wanted, you know? Yeah. From there, then we can look into whatever sources, whether hypnotism, psychotherapy or whatever, as a way of resolving an issue.
Mm.
But if you are able to understand how the mind works, heck, you can reduce the number of issues being created in the first place.
True.
So that will be much more beneficial.
Yeah.
That's what I would be. I would like for all for the world. Yeah.
Yeah, that answers the question. But speaking of that, do you think, this is just an extra as well, do you think for the, like, quote-unquote forecast, do you think it will, we were talking about the reception of hypnotherapy in Singapore and in Asia itself, right? Do you think it will be a worldwide spread of reception for it? Do you think that Asians will be much more welcoming of it? It is now, right? In comparison, like, does any of your clients tell you that they would prefer a quote-unquote, you know, clinical psychologist in comparison to... Because, correct me if I'm wrong, did they ever tell you that, like, they would prefer to go to a psychologist or...
Okay. Because my business model is very self-initiated, in a sense that the client must initiate themselves before we can do anything.
Mm.
If the client wants to solve a problem, yeah, I can help. If the client doesn't want to solve the problem, I can help. Right? So I did have actually one guy came and see me and he asked whether I could give him a diagnosis so that he could down pass in army. So then I'm like, no, you come to the wrong person. I can solve the problem, but you need to see a psychiatrist for if you want that kind of result. Like, what's your intention, you know? Of course, there are parents also bring their children to come and see me. But then I would realize that the children doesn't want to solve the problem.
Mm.
The children want to persist the problem. So, yeah, I have to be honest with the parents. It's not like mind control where you send someone to see me and then poof, we're done.
I'm sure you have lots of that, right?
Thankfully, not a lot. But yes, once in a while, yes. So ultimately, people, the moment they actually come to my website, right, they know that I'm a hypnotist. They sort of know whether they want it or they don't. Now, when we go back to the reception of hypnotism, the thing about traditional hypnotherapy, you are able to test an experiment on the same script with a bunch of people with the same symptoms. And then you can rate how much was improved, right? However, my version of hypnosis, which is a modern style, I personalize each person, the solution, the technique to solve the problem.
Mm.
So therefore, mine is a little bit hard to experiment or track data, statistically wise. Mm. Okay? So people with a very science background, like psychologists, for example, may say that my version of hypnosis, there's no statistics, there's no evidence-based in a sense. It's very hard to track. Therefore, they may not see it. Now, there will be some psychologists who are open-minded about it and they will say actually it's valid to them, right? Next is religion. Okay, so for example, Catholics and Christians, even I used to think hypnosis was black devil's magic. But that was because when you have no idea how it works, you fear the unknown.
Yeah.
So Catholics and Christians may think that hypnotism is black devil's magic or from the devil, right? The ironic thing is that when I did a bit of research, there was one pope, but I can't remember which pope, Pope Pius the 9 or 11 or something like that. He actually said, many years ago, he actually said, hypnosis is a great way, and I don't quote directly,
paraphrase.
Yeah. The hypnosis is a great way to actually reduce the pain for childbirth. Yeah, he said that. The Pope said
it. I'm going to do it. That's it.
Yeah. But of course, the Christians will be following more of the pastors. So whatever the pastors believe is going to get passed down. Then we got Muslims. I had a few Muslims and they said, you know, when I did my research, actually it is haram to actually do anything unconsciously. So the traditional style is not good. But your style allows us to still be conscious. So therefore, I come and look for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, of course, people will think, oh, hypnosis, straight away, is sleep.
Feel, yeah.
Yes. So that's why I need to re-educate the mind about the conversational modern style. I am probably, well, a few years ago, I know I am, but now I don't know whether I'm still the only professional modern style hypnotist in Singapore.
Hmm.
Most of the others are using traditional style. Yeah. I don't know whether now it's changed. What I'm saying about me being the modern professional hypnotist is from a few years ago when I started. Yeah, but I don't know, maybe one or two more pop up. I don't know. I didn't really go and check out anybody else. That's to what I know a couple years back. So if you look into this, the culture, the beliefs that we have, it's whether we can be open about it, whether we want to understand something. You know, is it possible that the whole world? I mean, we look at it, the whole world, whether maybe certain Americans could have certain biasness about hypnotism, maybe certain British, certain Chinese people, certain Filipino people, you know, whatever, right?
To each its own.
Yeah, because of culture, because of beliefs.
Yeah.
I think I recall, having a chat with this lady from Indonesia, and she was very surprised that I do hypnotism, because in their country, hypnotism is seen as black magic and used to like con people or something for money or whatever. So yeah, didn't even know that you could use it for therapeutic purposes. Yeah, I had a couple of clients from Brunei. Yeah, they came to Singapore, and then I asked, hey, I'm kind of curious, why you come to Singapore to look for me? And the lady said, "Making, in Brunei, we are a Muslim country. There are no hypnotists in Brunei. So that's why we come to Singapore to look for you." So, ah, okay. Welcome to Singapore.
So that means your clients, there's a catalogue of them from Brunei, from Malaysia,
Brunei, Indonesia. Had clients from India, Hong Kong, Sri Lanka. I had clients from Japan, Australia, Philippines, although Philippine chit-chat haven't do hypnosis yet. Clients from Scotland, Europe, Germany, America.
Jeez.
Yeah, literally everywhere.
I don't know how many tabs are open.
Yeah, like everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for the listeners, that goes to show the catalogue of clients that Moon King deals with, so... Yeah, if you do, I would... That's why I was telling him. I was like, so how much do you charge for, you know, a session? Just because I want to know myself, you know, and also I might want to try. So, please guys, try you should try. Before, I'm saying that because I'm going to go to the next session, which is rapid fire. I'm going to ask you 300 questions which you cannot see from my piece of paper.
I can't even see any of the questions.
Yeah, that's why I left that empty. So, my first question, it's a short question now. My first question, it can be nothing controversial. It's just probably personal or probably career related. My first question to you, Makin, are you ready?
Sure.
What is your biggest fear?
My biggest fear?
Hmm.
I don't know.
You have none. Are you terrified?
Used to. Then I had to fly a plane. I mean, fly on a plane, not fly the plane, but fly on a plane. Then I just resort to fear of heights.
Bugs.
Yeah, I don't like cockroaches.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I don't like them. That's about it. Other than cockroach, yeah, I don't like them.
Death.
What?
Death.
Death. Considering that I nearly died before, I live my life as if I'm gonna die tonight. Not that I YOLO to like bungee jump, but I YOLO to help people. If I can help you, if I can share my information and it helps you in one way or another, and then die tonight, at least you're better equipped with more awareness to help yourself.
In being alone?
Nah, it's fine. I've always been alone.
See? So that's... Yeah, that's right. That's okay. I was thinking to myself, like, probably you must have a fear. I was like, what is it though?
Yeah, you can think of, I don't know what. Public speaking, biggest number I spoke to was 100 students in NUS.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But that's still... I don't know why, but public speaking, like, just digressing for a bit, but public speaking is always one of the things that it's the common fear within people. Because
number
it's a
fear.
Whole crowd of...
Yeah, number one fear. It could be a mix of things from perception or that. By the way, this sidetrack again, do you know that there's a difference between fear of public speaking and stage fright? And fear of presentations. These three sound the same, but they're actually very different depending on the words. Stage fright will be on stage. If there's no stage, they may not get the fear. Presentation, slides and presentation, they're presenting something. But it means that they're okay to stand up and ask a question. Fear of public speaking will be speaking in public in general. So whether it's stage or presentation or this, there is a slight difference.
I learned something new.
Yeah.
Well, it's three different. Oh, okay, so it's three different.
So for me as a hypnotist, I am very aware of the words the clients use, and I have to be very on the ball in a sense, because whatever that they're saying as we chit chat, it's not just a normal chit chat. I am really analyzing everything that they're saying, all the words they're using.
Yeah.
If they were to say, oh, I have a fear of public speaking, okay, let me just clarify, when you say public speaking, is it a stage, small group, big group, have you done this, have you done that? If you just ask a question, I have to go through a lot of things just to clarify exactly how it is.
Cockroaches. Okay, yeah, that's actually one of the questions. Now you think about it, the question I asked you is like, pretty much you went through everything and it's so the fear. Do you have a fear of anything? It's like a redundant question, but anyways. We talked about this on the record, but question number two, if you're not a hypnotherapist, what would you be?
I might end up becoming like a childcare teacher or some teacher.
Kids.
Yeah. I like kids, I like education, I like to teach. I find that their minds are the best to learn at a point in time. Fastest growth. And anything can be a learning point, but it doesn't have to be like a lesson. It could be just sharing information or even just conversation. Like there was one time when I did an internship in a childcare, and the teacher was on leave. Oh, sorry, she was on MC. So I took the class. Mine was K-1 class, which is about 5-6 years old. And what happened is that I decided to draw on the whiteboard a frog, a tadpole, as well as a half frog, and then the egg. And we talk about metamorphosis. Now I reminded them, this word is a big word, you don't have to remember it. Just understand that there are certain animals that don't look the same, and this is this word, metamorphosis. So let's talk about, so after a bit of discussion, and then we talk about what other animals come from eggs. So some say, oh, chicken, some say duck, and there was one boy, and he said, human. And then everybody all laughed at him, ha, human don't come from eggs. And I said, hold on. There are eggs in humans. It's just that we don't see them. Yeah. You know, it's inside our body. And since my question was which animal also come from eggs, technically every animal has an egg to a certain extent. Then again, there could be some animals without eggs. But then again, I don't know. Okay. But yeah, based on human, yeah, we still have eggs. It's just inside them, okay? Yeah, so he's not wrong. And I had to teach the class that you do not insult or laugh at someone else just because of the wrong answer. Because he turns out to be right. So that, to me, was a learning point still. Even though, of course, giving a lesson, but that was another learning point in a learning point.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy teaching kids. Yeah, the greatest ever. There was another one. I can go on kids. There's another one, it was before Children's Day, and all the kids, the classes were all mixed up already. So this boy, he was like 3, I think, and he was throwing the balloon, drop in the air, and watch it fly down. He drop in the air, and watch it fly down. He drop in the air, and watch it fly down. And I'm standing there watching him throw in the air, and watch him fly down. But the kids are playing around.
Yeah.
And then after that, he saw me look at him, and then he came over, and he asked, "Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee! Why this balloon cannot fly?" And he drop in the air again and like come down. Then most people will straight give the answer. But for me, I want to know, where have you seen the balloon fly? So he said, "Oh, I went to a carnival and I got a balloon. And I bring it home, but I never hold properly. Then now the balloon, it fly to the corner and stuck in the corner of the house." And so you see how the balloon fly. Okay, very good. Now, to understand why this balloon cannot fly, you must understand something called gravity. Now, all the kids are from different ages are gathering around me. Wow, so everyone together. Okay, so now we must understand what is gravity. First of all, okay, make sure the distance jump. Then start jumping and jumping and jumping. And then I'm like, well, what do you notice after you jump? We fall down. So why do you fall down? Because something pulls us down? Exactly, that is gravity. So, yeah, otherwise all the cover all fly into the air. Okay, so once you understand that, now we can talk about the air. There's a difference in air. So now, everybody, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. The teacher in the corner, she's the one blowing the balloons, the cylinder. She's like thinking, "Wow, Mr. Lee, you can, anytime you can teach a class, just teach PE, now got rest time, then later talk about science." Yeah. Now do you want to breathe in? It's all the lungs. See the lungs, and got heart, got stomach. You cannot see one inside. Yeah. So breathe in big, then you can feel the lungs, yes. Then after that, what else? Talk about the different density of air. Oxygen, carbon dioxide. Just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. Then, what else did I talk about? Yeah, I can't remember, but yeah, that's an example of how I can take anything to be a learning point.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was fun. And then she went home and then she talked about gravity to the parents. And the parents next day came back, I was like, "You all teach gravity?" I'm an intern, so I'm just. And the teacher was like, "No!
2-5 year olds, right?"
No, it was a range. We got 3, 4, 5, 6. It's range because all mixing around, playing around.
You learn about gravity in like what? In the standards?
Yeah, normally you learn in like standard curriculum, it's like in primary school or primary school. Yeah. Science, yes. So I was teaching all this stuff already. Yeah, because
it's a good fun, thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Being able to know how to teach a concept using everyday stuff.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting for like kids that age because you never know how they will reply to the things that we would think in a normal setting that, oh, this should be taught in a primary school setting.
Yeah.
And then they would teach you things that, oh, gosh.
I like to see the kids as young adults or child adults. They're very young, but doesn't mean that they are unable to do it. I'll give you an example. When I first stepped into the preschool, my kids were in nursery class, 3-4 years old, or maybe 4-5. Yeah, 4-5. 4-5, is it? Four. Let's just stick with 4. And I was very surprised during the break timing when they were eating, a boy ate finished his food. I can't remember what food it was, but he ate finished his food and then he started feeding another boy who had autism. And I'm like, 4-year-old can feed another 4-year-old?
Feeding.
Yeah. Then the teacher was like, "Yes, if you teach them and you allow them the responsibility, they can do it." And I'm like, "Oh, that is something I learned."
Yeah.
And when they spill the water, it's usually the teacher, if there's a reaction, screaming, then the kids will also react, "Oh, spill water. But the teacher was like, "Yeah, spill water, so what do you do?" "I'll take the cloth and clean." Okay, so the boy go off to the kitchen, take the cloth, come and clean himself. There's nothing, there's no...
Yeah, no,
it's all reaction from the parents, all the adults, teachers. Yeah, it's really amazing, really amazing.
Kids, other than that, if you said you would be a teacher, what else would you be if you had a chance?
Yeah, if I could have gone to university, I might be a mathematician or a physicist, something along those lines.
I suck at math. So yeah, that's why I'm quite amazed when you say teacher and mathematician. Because I mean, in my range of, you know, social circle, I don't think there's a lot of people who wants to be a mathematician. That's why I'm like, I like brain stuff in a sense that, you know, like intellectual and conversations and stuff like that. So that's why I was like mathematician. Quite, yeah. But how do, speaking of career as well, I'm just going to digress for a bit. How, in Singapore, I just remember this. In Singapore, how does one go about to become a hypnotherapist?
Okay.
If they want to.
The thing about Singapore is that there is quote-unquote no regulation at this point in time. In that sense, it means that hypnotherapists do not need a license. So it allows everything will have a good and bad. The good side is that as long as you have a certificate in hypnotherapy from any school, whether in Singapore or from overseas, you can start a business and practice in Singapore. The bad part is that some may have obtain the certificate, but they don't have the experience, and they might screw up their future clients' lives if they do not know how to react properly. Yeah, one of my clients, he was sharing with me how several years ago, many years ago, he attended a course on hypnosis, and the trainer actually got one of them to do a regression to go back in time in memories. But what happened is that the lady ended up going back to, I think it was a fear of worms or something, and was screaming and screaming, and the trainer didn't know how to bring her back. And when I heard that, I was like, ah, the guy was very inexperienced at that point
in time. That is a horrific experience.
Yeah, and it traumatized her, and after they managed to calm down, the trainer could like just, so anyone else next? And the whole class didn't want to try because like...
The trust is gone, eh?
Yes! Yes, so good and bad, you know, good and bad. So when there's anyone that come and look for me and they are saying that, oh, they're actually going to think of other people as well to explore, I'll tell them, go ahead, ask questions. If you make sure that they know their material well, you have trust in them, it's fine, you know. Ultimately, it is your comfort level and whether you trust them or not. Yeah, but different countries all over the world will have different regulations. Like, I think, if I remember correctly, in Australia, you need a license and insurance. In Malaysia, I think you need a license. I'm not too sure about insurance. In US, all the 50 states actually have different requirements. So in one state, you cannot talk about hypnotism at all. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Okay. There was one principal who did a bit of hypnosis to calm down the school, and he got sent to prison.
What?
Yes. Because he did hypnosis without consent.
It doesn't matter whether it's conscious or unconscious because it's without consent already, right?
Well, in that state, hypnotism done without consent is illegal and will be sent to jail. Then there is another state which requires licensing as well as certification. Then another state would be totally no hypnotism at all, with or without consent. Then another state would be hypnotism's okay, there's no license. Yeah, so even in America, all the 50 states have different regulations regarding hypnosis. So,
So I didn't know that as well. I thought it was like, you know, the usual common thinking would be like America. You know, it would be like everything would be open, freedom of speech and everything.
They have a lot of stuff inside that, yeah. I think the principal one, I read it about maybe 3-4 years ago. Yeah.
Last rapid fire question.
Shoot.
Favorite food? Give safe questions.
Why safe question? Favorite food? I like rice.
But rice with what? Just rice.
Anything.
Duck or chicken?
This is tough. I used to only like chicken rice, but then I eat duck rice, partly because of my health, and then I realized I quite like duck rice. But good duck rice is hard to find. The meat.
True.
Yeah. Chicken is easier to cook, you see.
True.
Yeah, that's the thing.
We're going to ask a string of random questions.
Sure.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Hong Kong movies or Taiwan movies?
I seldom watch movies.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, Hong Kong and Taiwan. I don't even know what was the last movie I watched from Hong Kong or Taiwan.
Okay, favorite movie then?
Marvel.
Really?
Yeah. I like Marvel movies.
Favorite country that you travel in the world?
Japan? But also because I only traveled to like 2 or 3 countries.
Which is?
Japan.
So only Japan.
Huh?
Only Japan.
Japan, Thailand, and Penang.
Mm.
I've only been to 3 countries.
Okay, then in that case, which country would you want to go? Once COVID is over, of course.
Actually, I have this lifelong dream, I suppose. If I were to die, the one country that I want to go is Egypt and see the pyramids. I don't know, I've always had this weird... Sorry?
Giza, is it?
I mean, can be any pyramid, but I think quite a lot. I just have this linkage, I suppose, with Egypt. Always fascinated with Egyptian mythology, the pyramids, and I don't know, maybe if past lives were real, then my past life was like an Egyptian. So, I don't know, maybe.
Color preference, black or white? I'm going on a random here.
I am okay with all colors. Although in the beginning, I started out with only liking white. But eventually, I'm okay with all colors.
Favorite color?
Like literally anything. Although you would think that it's purple lah, but
just because you're wearing purple today.
Purple is my branding color. Yeah, you haven't seen my name card, right? Actually, if you go see my website, it's purple.
Has it got anything to do with color psychology?
A little bit. Yeah.
Detail. So yeah, that's why. Purple. Yeah, that's all for rapid fire. I can't think of anything else at the top of my head right now.
Ooh, some rapid fire.
Yeah, I know. But it was initially the first 3 questions, that's why I was asking you that. The first 3 was the most important one. I think I'm happy my rapid fire. the last one. So, now that we come to the end of the interview, where can the listeners find you? Just in the case, probably website or Instagram or Facebook, you know, just in the case that they do want to book a session with you.
Okay.
Oh, wait, and you have books as well. Where can they get your books? I just know that.
My books are on Amazon.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want to read up more information about hypnotism or about this blogs that I have regarding mental health or relationship or anything like that, my website is www.leemcking.sg. That's leemaking.sg. Now, if let's say you want to contact me, you can contact me on my website as well. I do have a Facebook and an Instagram, Lee Making the Hypnotist. LeemckingTheHypnotist.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
So they can just click on it, so easy. But yeah, but that's where they can find me. Instagram. Have you mentioned Instagram?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram is the same. Lee Making the Hypnotist. I don't know. I don't know how I came up with setting that as like a brand name or something. Yeah. Then it just stuck.
That's where you can find him on Instagram, on Facebook, on your website. And your books are on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you very much, Mokin, for this session. Like, at least the reason why I wanted, just before I, you know, go off, the reason why I wanted to do this was because I myself, you know, have gone through some mental health issues. So like, AOC has always been a place where I want to try to give alternatives for mental health itself. So please book us, now that I have provided this, please book a session with Mokin, because he's honestly coming from me itself, and I'm, you know, like face to face with him, like the vibes. Usually the idea of going into, like for me itself, going into a psychologist or even stepping into, you know, trying to seek help for mental health is always scary. But being here with him, it gives you a different, I'm not selling this, I'm just saying this because it gives you a different vibe that you can get comfortable with. It's just a normal conversation that we're having. So go for it, people. So yeah, thank you, Mokin. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was enjoyable.
And I'll put your link on the show notes. And thank you for the rapid fire and the link of questions that I asked. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else to say to the listeners?
Be aware of your words, because whatever that you say to yourself can be detrimental if it's negative. So try to say more positive things. But don't lie. Don't lie. If it sucks, it sucks. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But if it sucks and you try to paint a flowery picture, then yeah, it's going to lie. It will create more harm than good. So just be aware of the words that you say, whether it's to yourself or to the people around you.
I got business advice, I got mental health advice, everything checked well. Okay, thank you so much for King. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.